We need this to be a showpiece series, a World Cup, if you will, of baseball in the same way that the World Cup of soccer exists. And that needs to come from the top, and you can't worry about whether ratings are going to be good in the United States or not if you have the best players playing.
Ladies and gentlemen!
I'll never, ever, ever forgive the Diamondbacks for stealing the 2001 World Series away from the Yankees. May they rot in hell for all eternity. You heard that, Arizona. I'm talking to you.
All right, I don't want to see any more Phillies and Cardinals around here doing anything in the postseason.
Thinking about it, his body of work at that point included 200 lifetime average and Mr. Belvedere.
Well, last year it was Jesus, which got me pretty close, you know, but ultimately Jesus forsaken me, however you say it. He let me down.
That will be your Achilles heel. That will cost you the championship right there. That will cost you the championship.
We'll see.
And I will win because you picked the Red Sox.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Banal of America Audio with your host, Tim Banal.
What is going on, my friends? This is Tim Banal of banalofamerica.com with the 2013 BOA Audio Baseball Special. For longtime listeners of the show, you know that we like to take a little break here in the spring, stop and smell the roses, and really just walk away from the paranormal for one episode to devote some time to other pursuits. And those other pursuits are, of course, the game of baseball. It is time once again for one of the most beloved and reviled editions of the program as we tackle America's pastime with a cavalcade of paranormal stars. On this year's installment of the baseball special, you'll be hearing from old friends Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, Adam Gorightly, Jason Offutt, and Richard Dolan. Additionally, appearing here on the program will be the winner of the Listener Prediction Contest. He posts at the BOA Forum under the name Shots90S, but his name in real life is simply Mike. Unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, our longtime friend Lauren Coleman could not participate in this year's festivities, but we have secured his predictions for the 2013 season. And he is, of course, joining in on the big contest. There is really not much more to say beyond that. Of course, you're going to be hearing a lot of baseball talk. You're going to be hearing a lot of conversations that you would pretty much expect to hear if I were to meet up with any of these guests at a bar somewhere and sat down to have some beers. For the folks who can't stand the baseball special, well, chances are 95% of you are not listening as it is, but stay tuned to Banal of America in the next 48 hours or so, because we're going to roll out an all-new pure esoteric edition of the program with our guest Thomas Fusco. So for the folks who enjoy the baseball special and the paranormal discussion on the show, you're getting two episodes here over the course of hopefully 2 or 3 days. That should keep you pretty busy going into the weekend. Obviously, since we have 6 guests here featured on the big baseball special, there is no point in doing bios at the beginning of the program. So with all that said, let's get down to business, my friends, and play ball. These interviews were recorded over the course of the last 10 days of March. Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, Adam Gorightly, Jason Offutt, Rich Dolan, and Shots90S. Join us on the 2013 BOA Audio Baseball Special.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2013 BOA Audio Baseball Special. And this year we're leading off with the 2012 Baseball Prediction Champion, filmmaker, author, publisher, paranormal pundit, as I like to call him, Paul Kimball. Congratulations, my friend. You are a champion. 2012, it was a very narrow race, but you squeaked by Adam Gorightly and captured the 2012 Baseball Prediction Championship. So welcome back, sir. Welcome back, champion.
Thank you very much. And it just goes to show, not only are Canadians smarter than Americans, but actually doing your research is a better way of making your predictions than throwing darts at a dartboard, which I believe is the Gorightly method. So I'm glad I squeaked out a win, because I can't imagine what that would do for predictors everywhere if Adam actually won.
Wow. This is the start of his reign, and it's not the start, but it's certainly this is what your reign is all about. It's a lot of trash talking here going on already. Gorightly was very close. He used the Tebow method for the record.
Yeah, he was close, but you know what? I am going to repeat this year. You hear it here first. I am going to repeat and defend my title, and I'm going to take all of you down. So, and I'm going to win by a bigger margin, because I'm going to get most of my predictions right.
Wow. Well, that's pretty bold, because
taking my defense seriously. I've done some real research. I went on the Sports Illustrated website 10 minutes ago, checked what they were doing. So I'm completely ready to defend my title. I've taken this completely seriously.
Well, this is exciting in a way, because we've had five previous champions: Dolan, Coleman, me, Offit, and you. So the only people out of the seven of us who haven't won yet are Bishop and Gorightly. So this is the odds. And no one's doubled up, so the odds suggest that someone is definitely going to be a double champion this year, unless Bishop and Gorightly can finally arrive at the dance. So it's going to be...
It's not going to happen.
All right.
It's not going to happen because they live in California. And
they're 3 hours behind, or 4 hours behind you, yeah.
Yeah, they're not only time-wise behind us, but they're also behind us in terms of our sort of intellectual prowess when it comes to assessing the baseball landscape. So all the rest of us East Coasters, like Dolan, you, me, I don't know where off it's from.
He's from the Midwest.
Yeah, close enough, fair enough. But you know, we're in the heartland of baseball, and those guys are out there cheering for the Giants and the Dodgers, which are sort of fake teams that got transplanted from the East 50 years ago.
Stolen, so they, some would say.
What?
Stolen, some would say.
Exactly. Stolen. So thieves never prosper. There you go.
I like how you took that and twisted it even further. All right. So you, leading into this, I was thinking about this conversation earlier when I was setting it up the last couple of days, because I think it's every 3 years, but I think 3 years ago we had you on the show, and you were really bullish on the World Baseball Classic. And of course, we just wrapped up the WBC, and you warned me ahead of time before we started that you were going to rag on Americans. And before I let you rag on Americans, I'll just say that I found the WBC to be kind of lackluster this year, and I just couldn't get into it. I don't know what it is. Maybe because it's on the baseball channel and it's impossible to find on my cable network, so it's like, if it was on ESPN, I'd probably watch it more, but it's not. But anyway, and that just does not just say go for me. It was, you know, across the board here in America, I guess the ratings were really down, and you, as our Canadian representative, are disappointed with your American brethren when it comes to the WBC.
Well, it would be easy to bash Americans, and so I'm going to. Now, the thing about Americans, and this is a broad generalization for a country with over 300 million people, so obviously it doesn't apply to everyone, but in general I think it does. They don't like sports that they can't dominate. There's probably the reason why the NFL, which is basically just rugby with armor on it, is so popular. Because you're the only country that plays. I mean, Canadians, we have the CFL and we like it, but you're the only country that really takes that kind of football seriously. You know, so that's a sport you can dominate. Baseball, you used to be able to dominate baseball. Clearly you can't anymore. An awful lot of players, you clearly don't dominate ice hockey, because a large number of players, the majority of players, come from Canada or Europe or other places, even though there's good American players. You do dominate basketball, but the rest of the world is catching up. I mean, Spain, there's a lot of countries that have good teams. So baseball, though, it's very disappointing. to me, I look at other countries. I'll compare baseball in the World Baseball Classic, and it's clearly not there yet, but to the World Cup of soccer, as you folks would say. Or
yeah, that's the ideal, I guess, for them. Yeah.
Football, as the rest of the civilized world would say. A couple of problems, and it's not just with the fans in the United States. To some extent, I don't actually blame the fans in the United States. Well, I do, but part of their own cultural myopia. But it's understandable in the sense you take your lead from your players. And so an awful lot of players didn't show up.
Right. I was going to say that as a defense because, like, it wasn't really the best team that the United States could even put together. So,
no,
or would put together, I guess, is probably the better.
To be fair, there were stars from other countries, even the Dominican, which won, that like Albert Pujols, who didn't show up. But there were more star players showing up on the other teams than there were that agreed to play for the United States. And I just contrast that with soccer, where if somebody, I mean, they actually fight to get on World Cup teams. Every country around the world, you know, it's the height of your professional career is if you're selected to represent your country in the World Cup of soccer. Especially in, you know, soccer, football mad countries like England or France or Italy or Brazil. Whereas part of it is, you know, there's a long history, a long tradition there, and the game is globally popular. But baseball is a globally popular game. And they're very good at it in all these other countries too. So that's not really an excuse. The only excuse I can think of for the low ratings in the United States, because frankly the ratings were pretty good in a lot of the other countries. I understand that the ratings were off the charts in Japan.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Which has a very long-standing baseball culture. The ratings were really good in the Caribbean. They were even actually reasonably good, I guess, here in Canada. So, and even in Europe, and I think in Italy and in the Netherlands, countries that advanced farther than you might have expected, the ratings were, on a percentage basis, better than in the United States. And nobody, I think, would ever confuse the Netherlands as a hotbed of baseball, although maybe they are now. So, then you look at the United States and you say, well, why don't Americans get jazzed about this? Because here's our chance because you like this. This is what Americans like and what generally they're good at. We're going to go beat the crap out of the rest of the world. Yeah, hoorah, we're the best. Well, wait a second now. Here's your chance to prove it with your national pastime. You get to go play the best players from all the other countries in the world that play baseball. Many of these players play in your country, in your professional league. But the same thing is true with the World Hockey Championships. You know, if you're playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you don't go. But generally speaking, if your team doesn't make the playoffs, you go play in the World Hockey Championships. The Olympics, certainly you would play. So why aren't you going, all these players on major league teams? If you're injured, you get a pass, no problem. But most of them didn't have that pass. So then you have to look at Major League Baseball, which is trying to invest a lot of time and money into this to really spread the game. It's good for baseball. It's good for everything. Well, okay, why didn't you? The real problem are besides the fans in the United States, the real problem are the general managers. Major League Baseball has to go to the teams and say, look, you can't withhold these players. We have to have your best players, not only for our team, but Japan and
yeah,
the Dominican. You know, the best players have to go for every team. We need this to be a showpiece series, a World Cup, if you will, of baseball in the same way that the World Cup of soccer exists. And that needs to come from the top, and you can't worry about whether ratings are going to be good in the United States or not if you have the best players playing. And a real commitment to make this work, I'm convinced ratings in the United States will increase because the stakes will increase. So again, I make fun of Americans and I sort of blame the fans, and I think, you know, the fans missed out on there was great baseball played. And the final, you know, the games between the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico were fantastic. The stakes were high. The game between, you know, anytime the United States was playing the Dominican or Puerto Rico, the stakes were high. Japan and all the games were great. Stakes were really high. Even when Canada played the United States, I remember tuning in and Canada was ahead. And I thought, awesome. We're going to beat the United States and kick them out of the tournament of their national pastime before they even get out of the first round. And you guys came back and won. Fair enough. It was exciting baseball. It's thrilling. It's one game, winner take all kind of thing, although you're playing in the round robin. But like the World Cup of soccer, once you advance to the playoff rounds, it's it. One game, winner, loser, go home. So it's kind of like every game is a game 7 of the World Series. And the truth is, the World Series is not the World Series, because there's really good baseball players playing in other leagues around the world. The World Series is really good. The American leagues are clearly the best leagues, professional leagues, in the world. But it's time to recognize that it's not really the World Series, because there's only one team from another country, Toronto, and the rest of the teams are all Americans. So American cities. So it's an American championship of the American Professional League. But what I actually think the World Baseball Classic could and should become eventually is the true world championship of baseball, where the best players from each country are get together, and whoever is left standing at the end of the process, boom, you are the world champions of baseball. In the same way that you can look at the Spanish and say, you're the world champions of soccer right now. Even though club teams win, say, the Champions League in Europe, or Manchester United wins the English League, or somebody wins the FA Cup, all those things are league championships, and they're great. It's wonderful to win the FA Cup in England, or to win the Scottish Cup in Scotland, or whatever. But the World Cup, every soccer player knows that you're representing your country, that is the pinnacle of achievement in that particular sport. And I'd like to see that, the same sort of thing, happen to baseball. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow. It might not happen for 10, 15, 20 years. But I kind of hope that, you know, by the time I'm a crotchety old guy in my late 60s, 20 years from now, that's where the World Baseball Classic, which is a dumb name, by the way, they can't call it the World Series of Baseball, obviously.
Well, they just call it the World Baseball Cup.
They could. The World Cup of Baseball or something. World Baseball Classic is kind of a goofy name, I have to admit. The term classic, I think that might turn some fans off, too, because it makes it sound old. You know, it's like the classic is not a term that sounds cool and edgy for the kids or whatever.
It's probably supposed to be like the fall classic. That's what they call the World Series. So, but just
exactly.
To defend America here, just, you know, it has been all
something
America.
Bob Costas would have dreamt up.
It probably was. But yeah. You have to understand, though, too, and I'm sure you do realize this, but just because it's called the national pastime, you know, baseball has been far surpassed by football and even basketball. I would say baseball is probably like the number three sport in popularity in America now.
It's number two for sure. I think basketball and baseball compete with each other as the number two slot.
Yeah, they can
and
be like
hockey,
tied for two.
Hockey of the four major leagues is the weak cousin or something that competes with NASCAR and golf, basically, now.
Right. So, but, I mean, what I'm saying is just, you know, this isn't really... You know, if this was like the 70s or 80s, it might be a different story, but it really,
no,
baseball has been tremendously supplanted by football.
I think but that illustrates the problem. The reason I think football is so popular is because you're the only ones who play it, really. So, you know, you kind of own it. You don't have to worry about competition. I love America. I love Americans. I just think you have a problem with competition. I think you have a problem with people who beating you at things.
I think that you're just mistaking I think that the football is more popular just because it's very American in a different way. It's very violent and fast and reckless, and baseball is sort of slow and serene, and, you know, it's for a different generation.
I think that's either a really sad commentary on American culture, which it could be, or I think it's a bit of a misread. I recognize the NFL for the moment is the most popular league, but those things come and go. And with a lot of the rule changes that are coming to the NFL, I think you might see its popularity wane. Although it might not wane in back towards baseball. You might find something, another crazy league that's even more violent, like, you know, piano dropping or something. But even if you accept that baseball was the third most popular sport in the United States, it's still very popular. There's still large numbers, you know, it still has an incredibly large fan base, and those people didn't watch. So I'm not talking about Americans even. I'll narrow my criticism to American baseball fans, and they didn't tune in.
That's fair enough.
Even about, you know, if some guy is in Kansas City and he just doesn't like baseball, he's a football fan, fine, no problem. He's probably more likely to tune in, though, if the United States is in the final, just for the hoorah thing. Like, yeah, we're number one. I don't even care what the sport is. We just want to beat these people from these foreign countries. Okay, it's the baseball fans who stayed away. And I get it and I don't get it. I think it's sad. That's a sad commentary on baseball and how they view baseball and how they view it as part of a growing worldwide sport. But, you know, I sort of understand it, too. And a lot of the blame lies with Major League Baseball for not promoting it properly, and for not twisting the arms of the teams in Major League Baseball and saying, you know what, you got to send your best players. You need to send your best guys and make sure they're there.
I agree with
for this to work.
You know, I agree with that. Again,
because
the other part is that, like I said, it was, you know, the baseball channel is obviously a great channel, but it's like a third tier. It's really not, you know, if this was on ESPN, I bet you the ratings would be much better.
Probably. And I mean, it was on, I can't remember what network it was on up here in Canada, but it was one of the major, it was like our ESPN or one of our sport,
right,
more significant sports channels. And Rick Sutcliffe, he's a horrible commentator. But, you know, if you want to give the veneer of this is a serious thing, then you need to have it with, no offense to Rick Sutcliffe, but you need your top, like get Joe Buck, not everyone likes Joe Buck, but get your top commentary team in there. Whoever you think your two, Tim McCarver, whoever you think your two best guys are, get them doing it. Or your best teams of people. Don't say, sorry, but Rick Sutcliffe's a minor leaguer in commentary. You need to send your best guys there. You need to make an event out of this. And for God's sake, you need to make sure that the final isn't in San Francisco. Because it was pouring rain. So you need to make sure the final's either in an indoor stadium or it's in some place like Phoenix or one of the southern cities where you know the weather's not going to be a problem. And frankly, then you should be moving the final, you know, next time they play, I don't know what their schedule is, but make the final, put it in Tokyo or have it in Toronto or wherever.
Yeah,
put it in the Dominican.
Good.
You know, move it around like the World Cup does. So the pieces are there, and part of you and I talked beforehand, I mean, I'm kind of just being purposefully confrontational because this is kind of the fun baseball thing.
Right.
So I'm a little over the top in the anti-American thing as fans, but it's largely because I like Americans and I think they missed a really, really, really good competition. The games were exciting. Some of them were nail-biting. And you could tell that the players who did show up were really invested in being there. Even the American guys were taking it very seriously. It's just there wasn't enough of them there. When David Wright is your top guy for your team, no offense, he's a good player, but you've left your best guys home.
Yeah, they pulled David Wright anyway halfway through the tournament.
Yeah.
But again, I got to go back to the, you know, there's a media problem here as well. Like you said, oh, they should have had Joe, like they just can't, you know, they can't just pull Joe Buck and have him do it. Like he's under contract. And the other part is like, I don't know, you probably don't see this up in Canada, but here it's like the big criticism against ESPN is they don't have any hockey contract, right? So
yeah.
The hockey, they've done like studies.
Get buried.
Right. So it's like they don't, I think they had it. They had the baseball classic for ESPN Desportes, and you know it was like they really did bury it. It wasn't like in even in the top 5 to 7 stories every night. So I mean, it's just again, it's really a victim of its own circumstance. You know?
Sure, I watch Around the Horn. I watch, pardon the interruption, with Kornheiser and Wilbon. And if the WBC got on, it was usually the fourth or fifth item or something.
Or after the commercial, like the segment after the commercial.
Right.
So,
and even the final wasn't the leadoff item on that day. I think the day it was, you know, the Miami Heat win again. Well, who cares? You know, call me when the Heat break the record or they're one or two games away from breaking the record. But this is the World Baseball Classic. But that's on Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has the clout to call the networks up and say, look, you air our regular season stuff. Part of what we want to do, part of the package, part of the deal, is we want your best efforts. We want you to pay attention to this because this is important to us. And that's, you know, if you want to get something, and it's clear that C-League and Major League Baseball, at least at the upper echelons, take this seriously, want it to work, then you actually kind of have to, it's like the bully pulpit for the president. If you really believe in something, you have to spend some of your capital, which means you kind of have to call in some favors, have to threaten people, push them around, do whatever you have to do, or else stop doing the World Baseball Classic. I mean, to me, those are your two options.
Yeah.
Do it well and make it work, or just give it up. Those are the two options. But this middle ground where, and it can't succeed if it doesn't succeed in the United States.
Other part where I kind of disagree. I saw them talking about this on, they had this conversation on PTI, and it was like, I kind of see their point of view where they were saying, you know, it doesn't really need, the point is to grow the interest in the sport around the world, not necessarily in America.
Right. But the World Baseball Classic, even around the world, I'm sure the people in the Dominican are happy to have won. I'm sure Puerto Rico is happy to be there, Italy, all those countries. But to actually make it work, to make people take it truly seriously, like they take the World Cup of Soccer seriously, you have to have the best players there. So that's what I'm talking about when I say make it work. And until you have the best players representing each of the countries, then it's not really going to work in the way that it either needs to or you should shut it down. Because at the moment, it's kind of in that nether region. Despite the fact that it was good baseball, despite the fact that it was exciting baseball, and I love the winner-take-all kind of one game and you're done sort of playoff things, even when I was watching and excited, because I watch most of the games, I realized, you know, look, David Wright's the best guy in the American team right now. That's when he was playing. that's, you know, they don't have their best players. Even the Dominican Republic didn't have all of their best players, although they had an awful lot of them. But you look at that Dominican Republic team, that team could contend for a World Series title. If you took all, that entire team, stuck in the major leagues, it would win 90-plus games. It was that good. You just realize how many good players have come out of the Dominican. And even the team from Puerto Rico, you know, a lot of Japan, a lot of the other teams, you go, you know what? You take some of these top-level teams, stick them in the Major League Baseball, as constituted right now, they could probably do pretty well. They could certainly do better than the Houston Astros. So there's a lot of good baseball players around the world. I feel sorry for Americans. For whatever reason, not enough of them tuned in, and they missed really good baseball at a time when your only other option, if you're a baseball fan, is to watch spring training games, which, you know, is just a waste of time.
Well, as an American, all I'll say is that there are far more reasons to feel sorry for us than the fact we missed out on the baseball classic. So, while we appreciate your concern, we're drowning. So... So,
well,
you know,
I'd say you're all welcome to come to Canada, but we guard our southern border very carefully. We don't like, you know, immigrants coming up from the south and ruining our way of life here with their crazy sort of mentality. So, you know, we're thinking of maybe even building a fence. That we took that idea from you guys. So, we're going to let you do it first, see how it works out for you, and then we might try it.
We're all going to join up in the one country anyway. We all know that, but that's a whole different show. Anyway, so
I hear that from Jim Mars, so it must be true.
There you go. Well, there's your 20-minute World Baseball Classic. Like I said, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I think it's a very well. We've kind of massaged.
I don't
the
even
nuances.
Get to talk about steroids. Aw,
who wants to talk about steroids? That's ridiculous. I'm not cutting off the thing yet.
I'm just kidding. We have other people. Ryan Braun's a cheat. That's all I'm going to say.
What's that?
That's my one steroid comment. Ryan Braun is a cheat, and he should give his MVP award back.
He's a total cheat. That's obvious.
He's a liar and a cheat. So there you go.
Yeah, he's a bum. The other point here, I try not to pepper you too much with team discussion, but as our Canadian representative, even though you are a Red Sox fan, you know, give me sort of a feeling on the zeitgeist up there in Canada as the Blue Jays look poised to be sort of the team du jour this year. You know, ironically enough, they're this year's Miami Marlins because they are constituted by most of the Miami Marlins. But well, you know,
this morning I picked the Jays to be the wild card last year. I can't remember. It might have been one of the picks I got wrong in my championship run. But or I picked them to be very good anyway. I was probably a year too soon. And I was a year too late the year before with the Phillies. I missed their drop-off. You know, I picked them to win. And so, you know, I'm close, but just off. You could probably wait for the Blue Jays. I can talk about them really briefly when I do my predictions because I think they're going to feature highly in my sort of breakdown on who's going to win each division and that sort of thing.
Okay,
but let's just say they're going to do better than the Red Sox this year.
All right. Well,
everyone in that division is going to do better than the Red Sox. So,
should we just get into predictions so you can? Because I feel like we're going to get into. You're the first person I've talked to, so I haven't really.
Sure, we can go into the predictions because I probably did blow my 20 minutes on World Baseball Classic, which is good because I'm probably the only person who's even going to mention it. If you don't bring it up to anyone else, I guarantee you, I bet nobody else mentions it.
On this program, the WBC is your bailiwick. So
there you go.
Anyway, all right. Are you ready to do predictions? Because I feel like we'll really get into the nitty-gritty here and probably get into more stuff that I would have asked you about. So if we just dig into predictions,
fire away.
We'll get into that.
Yep.
So all right. Now, as you said, you've predicted a defense here of the title, and that would be obviously historic, so I'm excited. It sounds like you've put some thought into this, probably about as much as I have, so let's get down to business. We start with the American League East, and I await your pick.
Your American League East champions are going to be the Toronto Blue Jays.
All right. Sounds interesting. I set you up earlier for the Toronto thing, and you sort of... kind of paused me on this. So what makes you bullish on the Blue Jays aside from the fact their massive acquisition of talent?
They got all the good things out of Miami and left Ozzie Guillen behind, and all the bad things in Miami. They already had a good core of young talent in Bautista and Encarnacion, some good pitchers, pretty good bullpen. So the pieces that they've added, and if you watch the World Baseball Classic, you'd realize what a really great player Reyes is when he's healthy and on his game.
Yeah.
And I think because he did so well in the WBC, he's going to come in really energized. I like Mark Burley. He's a 12 to 15 game winner. He's a good guy to stick in the middle of your rotation. He's a good mentor for some of the younger pitchers. You know, I think R.A. Dickey's not going to win 20 games, but I think he's going to win 14 or 15. I mean, they're just solid all the way through. They're loaded. They fought, you know, the corporate masters that own the Blue Jays finally unleashed the purse strings and said, good, let's load up. Enough of this rebuilding crap. Let's take our shot and see if we can win a World Series. So that's what they've done. And I think, you know, they are in a financial realm now where they've always been able to compete with Boston and New York. Most Americans don't realize this, but the giant corporate entity that owns the Blue Jays has as much money as anybody. They just haven't been spending it because they, you know, Canadians would tune in anyway.
This Rogers.
They finally, like the Dodgers kind of did, said, you know what, we need to spend money and we can make even more money by spending it if we're a consistent winner again. And so, sure, give it a shot. So, you know, they're loaded and they're clearly, they did it, unlike Miami, which I think kind of did it just to, they put pieces that maybe didn't fit just to try and make a splash. I think the Blue Jays actually thought about who they were acquiring. They acquired character guys like Burley. They acquired guys who could fill holes in their roster, including Reyes. He fills a hole. And who could support the good guys that they already had there. So they are set. I mean, I think they are a potential juggernaut. So I think they'll win, you know, by 7 or 8 games in the East.
Okay, wow. See, I don't even have them making the playoffs.
You will be mistaken.
My theory is that they're going to need another year or so to gel.
And we shall see.
All right, we'll see. Yeah, that's my rationalization. So
my only answer would be if they were all a bunch of young guys, I'd say that might be true. Or if they were managed by a complete idiot like Ozzie Guillen, that might be true. But they don't have any of those distractions, and they have a lot of guys who are very experienced players, from Bautista to Dickey. I mean, guys who've been around. They got a lot of character guys as well as talented guys. So I don't think they're going to take very long to gel. And if for nothing else, they're not as dysfunctional as the Red Sox and the Yankees are. So, you know.
Oh, believe me, I have the Rays to win the East, so I'm not.
Ah, well, there you go. Well, for me, we'll skip right ahead to my wild card because I have the Rays as my wild card pick.
Okay.
Seems how you mentioned them, so.
All right.
Love Joe Madden.
All right. So so you have the Jays for the AL East. For the American League Central?
Detroit Tigers.
All right.
Hands down.
That seems pretty agreeable. That's kind of where I'm at. The American League West.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or whatever they call themselves now.
All right. I have a feeling this might be one of those years where it all comes down to a couple of picks for all of us. But, okay, so then the AL wild card number one, you have the Rays.
Yes.
And for AL wild card number two, you have?
Say what now? There's a second wild card. No, I'm just kidding. I got the Oakland Athletics.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I like the A's. I think last year was not a fluke. They're a team on the rise, and I actually, if I wasn't going to pick the A's, I'd be seriously tempted to pick the Kansas City Royals, but I think they are a year or two away, but they're building a team that I think is finally going to contend.
Well, you'll be happy to know that I've called your bluff on that, and my AL wild card number two pick is the Kansas City Royals.
Well, we're on the same page. We just, you know, see things slightly differently, but I think a lot of people are looking at the Royals as sort of a dark horse team. And,
that's right.
And I'm
just
one of them.
One team, look at, you know, the fucking Orioles last year. You know,
it's always one team that
bubbles up. Cincinnati came back.
Yep.
It's Royals time. So that's my wild card two pick.
I love the Royals. You can call that your Mac Tony's pick, too, because he's from KC. Not that he really cared about baseball, but, you know, there's a Mac Tony's pick. I just think Oakland has the pieces. They're for real. And I think they're probably going to squeeze into that second wild card spot and, you know, get bounced in the first round, but whatever.
And for the record, since you're the first person I've talked to, I'll get my picks on the record. My other wild card pick is the Red Sox.
Ugh, you're such a homer. That will be your Achilles heel. That will cost you the championship right there. The championship.
We'll see.
And I will win because you picked the Red Sox, which will be ironic because I'm as big a Red Sox fan as you are.
There's five other people competing. It's not just you and me, but okay.
Have you seen the roster of the other people competing? It's you and me, Tim.
No, I haven't. You're the first person I've talked to. But anyway, all right. So
these people don't have a shot.
So just to summarize, you have the Jays, the Tigers, the Angels, the Rays, and the who's left?
Oakland.
And the A's. Yeah. Sorry, yes. I'm looking at my picks too, so I don't want to get up confused. All right.
No, for God's sake, don't give me your picks. That would be bad.
No, oh, please. We're pretty much. We're close. Well, just you know, to defend, there is obviously a mix of homerism there with the Red Sox pick, and also I feel like maybe now that they've sort of shed themselves of a lot of this bad baggage, that maybe they'll get it together. And I feel like the division actually is weaker than it has been in quite some time. So, and I think the Rays, I'm really bullish on them because if you look at all the other teams, like I said, the Blue Jays, they're kind of this new mix. And the Orioles, I think, just got super lucky last year. And the Yankees are all banged up. The Rays have the most sort of stability of all the teams. So
true enough, which is why I'm picking them for the wild card. But saying that the Jays are like a new mix, it's kind of like a guy being offered stock options on Facebook and stepping back and going, you know, I don't know if this is going to catch on. Let me tell you, things change quickly, my friend, these days. The Jays are loaded. Take it to the bank. Pauly the Greek says, Jays.
All right, all right.
I'm not Greek.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so now we move on to the National League. Now, I will say that I felt like the American League was way more, there were way more teams that I thought could sort of come into play, like the A's and, you know, like the Blue Jays. So, but in the National League, I felt I was a little bit, you know, I was kind of really reaching just to find a second wild card that I felt confident about. So I'll be interested to see your picks. So we have the National League East. Who you got?
The Montreal Expos in exile. Which is what I call the Washington Nationals, because I will never call them the Washington Nationals. They are Canada's second team in exile. So the Montreal Expos in exile.
All right, we're in agreement there. The National League Central.
The Cincinnati Redlegs.
All right, okay. That was one where I struggled with the National League Central. This year
some good teams there.
Yeah, I took the Cardinals this year because they always seem to be consistent, so I figured I was due to be hit that one by accident. So I'm going with a mix of sort of wild of dark horses and sort of old steadies. But anyway,
I just watched a number of Cincinnati games last year because they air probably more than they usually would in Canada, simply because Joey Votto is Canadian and he plays for the Reds, of course. So I probably saw more Reds games than most people outside of Cincinnati. And the Reds are a really good team. They weren't a fluke. They got great pitching. They got Votto. They got good guys around them. So I think they're here to stay, and I think they're going to win again. But the Cards, they're a good team too.
Right.
You know,
that's one of those
Pirates
that come down to the wire.
Yeah, the Pirates aren't bad. They should win 80, 85 games. And if I didn't sort of hate Ryan Braun so much, I might even give the Brewers some credit, but probably not.
I don't care for the Brewers.
Yeah, no.
Okay, National League West, as we call the Bishop Go Rightly division.
This is the hardest division to pick because you've got the free-spending Los Angeles Dodgers, who are basically trying to buy a championship. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. And you got the plucky, well, for relatively plucky in the millionaire world of baseball, San Francisco Giants, who are the defending World Series champions. I will anger my friend Greg Bishop and pick the San Francisco Giants.
Okay. All right.
They have character, whereas the Dodgers, you want to talk about a team, everything you said about the Blue Jays, I would say about the Dodgers.
Right, right.
They have to gel, and they got a lot of egos. And I think I just read that Hanley Ramirez might be injured.
He's out for 8 weeks.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a division where you're going to have to get off to a good start, and I love the Giants pitching staff. So I always take pitching over anything else. I'm going with the Giants.
All right. Okay, National League wild card number one.
Los Angeles Dodgers. having just said everything, the choice is which one of them wins and which one of them is the wild card. So I think the Giants squeak out a win. The Dodgers get in anyway.
Okay, and then the other National League wild card.
Well, here's the really tough pick because obvious to me. But okay, so and I'm going with the Atlanta Braves.
That's not a bad choice, yeah.
I love their bullpen. Yeah. And they got the Upton brothers. They got a good offense. I think the Braves are a good, solid pick. You know, the Cardinals, I like the Cardinals. The Cardinals are good. They could do it. But really, I think the Cardinals are the only other team that I even would have considered for a wild card, and I just think the Braves are better. So
okay. See, we're the again, for the record, since you're the first person I've had on the show here for the baseball special.
We flip-flopped on the National League West and the wild card. I have the Dodgers for the West and the Giants for the wild card. And my other wild card pick is, I don't know, you may be surprised, you'll probably be dismissive of this, but I took the Phillies. I feel like they have one last good run in them, and this might be it. So
they might. Ryan Howard seems to, you know, there's guys who can bounce back. The thing I would say about the Phillies, as Roy Halladay goes, the Phillies will go, and it's always hard to tell, but in spring training, but Halladay has not been pitching well in spring training.
No, he's not
pitched well last year.
Right.
So, you know, if you're not getting 15 to 17 wins out of Roy Halladay, yeah, I think it's tough to compete. But they're not a bad team. So if everything works, they could make it in. I like, you know, they got character, if nothing else.
Yeah, well, it has all the makings of a, you know, it could be a disastrous year where they end up selling off all their parts, but we'll see.
Yeah. It's a bit of a flyer, but you know what? There would be worse picks, like the Colorado Rockies or something.
Exactly. But you know something? 9 months from now, we could be saying, holy shit, how about that run the Rockies went on? So, you know, that's what I like about baseball.
I don't think we're going to be saying that.
Well, we'll see. I'm skeptical of that, too, but, you know.
Yeah. We're just as likely to be saying, how about those Houston Astros? Wow, I couldn't believe Clemens 20-game winner.
Nice. Yeah. All right, so then, okay, so we've got your divisional picks and all that good stuff. Who do you have taking home the American League Championship?
I have the Detroit Tigers repeating.
Wow, okay.
Love their pitching staff, love their batting, and they've had a year to gel, plus the experience of going to the World Series. So.
And they picked up Torrey Hunter.
Yeah, they're primed. Like I like the Jays. The Angels are obviously loaded. I mean, there's three loaded teams, Detroit, Angels, Toronto, and then Tampa Bay's got character and a great manager. So those are the four teams in the mix for me. But Detroit, like the Rangers proved, there's something to be said, and the Giants, there's something to be said for having been there, and I think they're going to come back again.
Right, okay. For the record, I have Anaheim as the American League champions.
They would have been my second choice. So
they're sort of what I think of Toronto in a couple of years. You know, I feel like it's not luck, but they got, in a way it is. They got extremely lucky with that guy that won Rookie of the Year. Like.
Yes, Mike Trout.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like, this probably some turn of phrase that you may know, but it's just like, you know, they go out and spend all this money on these guys, and then it turns out they have a guy of equal caliber within their own, you know, they just lucked out huge.
Yeah. I don't know if it's lucked out. It's good scouting.
That's what I mean. It's not luck, but in a way it is. You know how it is.
Although I will say this, they are the, I know they're within their rights to do it, they're the dumbest team in Major League Baseball to not give that guy
a
significant raise.
Yeah.
Because when he comes around for free agency, don't expect a hometown discount. Expect him to say, sayonara, guys, I didn't forget. So that's a horrible decision on their part.
Right.
And, you know, for like Mike Trout's he's a superstar. Crazy. Anyway.
It's cutting off your nose to spite your face. It's like they gave all that money to Hamilton because they knew they didn't have to probably spend a shitload on this young kid. You know what I mean? It was like if they were really smart and built for the future like the Rays or something, they would have locked him up like the Rays did Longoria and, you know, passed on Hamilton.
But they'd look at him, they'd say, you're the real deal. Your speed, power, average, and you're one of the great fielders. You are Joe DiMaggio for our generation, or, you know, start listing names. You're one of those guys. Now, bad things could happen, but we're going to sign you to a 10-year deal for $250 million. We're just not going to pussyfoot around, kid. You're our guy. But nope, and it's not like they don't have the money. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Exactly. Anyway, I just wanted to get that in because when I read it, I was incredulous. They gave him like a $20,000 raise or something.
Right.
Thanks for coming.
All right, so you've got the Tigers for the AL. Who do you have for the National League champions?
The San Francisco Giants, a replay of the World Series.
Wow. All right. Interesting. Interesting. I have the Nationals taking the National League. So,
good pick, but love the Giants. Love the pitching staff.
All right. So you've got the Tigers facing off against the Giants once again. And who do you have wrapping it up? Who do you have winning the whole thing?
Drum roll, I really want to pick the Tigers, but I think while it's closer, the Tigers are the new Buffalo Bills of Major League Baseball, and the Giants repeat as World Series champions.
Wow.
Establish a true dynasty with three of the last four World Series titles.
Stunning. I'm surprised by your picks, but, you know, you are the champion this year, so I cannot besmirch them.
I'm impressed.
I just time traveled a year into the future. I'm the champion for this coming year too. So.
All right, fair enough. Well, I have, for the record, I have the Anaheim Angels taking it all this year. So.
Well, we're in the same state, despite knocking California and the lousy picks of Go Riley and Bishop. We're at least we pick teams from their state. So there you go.
All right. So there's both Paul's picks and my picks here for the year.
Who do you have the Angels beating?
I have the Angels beating the Nationals.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, okay.
And I really kind of debated that heavily, but in the end, I feel like, the Angels, you know, all the mix finally will come to fruition this year. So, but like I said, we'll
see. Very well could. They're a good choice. The Nationals, I think, not such a good choice because they're still young, but I think the Angels, if it's not the Tigers, it's going to be the Angels, but, we'll see.
And, that's pretty much it. The only other point I would make, and I'll probably make it maybe with other guests, would be to keep an eye on the Cleveland Indians. They'll be an interesting team. I'm not saying, oh, they're going to be good or anything. I just feel like, you know, with Francona and sort of, I think they're like a few years away sort of from the commitment that some of these other teams have made to their teams. So it's like they're sort of dipping their toe in the water of actually committing to winning. So it'll be interesting to see how that experiment goes. And of course, I feel like the Yankees. I'm hoping for a really terrible year from them. And it's looking that way.
All I can say about the Indians is it's hard to hate any team from Cleveland because they're just so sad. So I hope they have a decent year. And you know, the Yankees. I think they will finish ahead of the Red Sox, but I think both of them are going to finish, you know, in third, fourth, fifth place kind of thing. So, and that's probably a good thing for baseball for a little while to have those two behemoths out and let some of the new guys in.
There you go. All right. Well, that wraps up your segment here for the baseball special. Give us some plugs. What do you got coming up? You know, what's going on? What should people look forward to? All that good stuff.
Well, my book, The Other Side of Truth, is still out, and it's now available on Kindle, ebook, on all sorts of sites through our European distributor, so you can actually get it in the electronic version. The Mac Tonys, the first volume of Post-Human Blues, is still out, and it will be out in ebook version, all those same things, within the next month. And volume two of Post-Human Blues will be out in about a month. I get books from Aaron Gullius, Nick Redfern, Dave Sadler, British paranormal investigator. A lot of stuff's coming out of my publishing company. And I have a new series that...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Congratulations. I meant to send you a private message, but my life is topsy-turvy as it is. So congratulations on the new series.
Ghost Stories, yes, which is kind of basically like Ghost Cases, only better. So
I thought it was some comedy series you were doing. Was that the picture you posted on Twitter or something?
Right. A year ago, I did this goofy little thing about the Mystery Man, which was me kind of making fun of paranormal investigators. And I was using the same title because it's a great title, but it wasn't. It was going to be for a sort of serious kind of ghost cases investigative show.
Oh, I thought it was I thought you were doing like a satirical comedy show.
No, and I got that from a number of people who sort of remembered the old kind of thing that I put up.
Oh, now I'm disappointed.
You know what? I'm going to save the Mystery Man thing and try and get that off the ground as a comedy show at some point. But no. So we changed the title to Ghost Stories, and it's although for the international distribution it might be different. And so yeah, it's basically Ghost Cases where we're going to go. Probably it looks like Holly Stevens and I getting back together to investigate strange and haunted places and the stories of people who live there throughout Canada and Europe and the United States and wherever we go.
Awesome. All right. Well, where can folks find out more from you? RedStarFilms.tv?
Nope. Close.
Okay, good.
RedStarFilmTV.com.
Ah, okay.
Company website, and it's all there. Oh, and by the way, the last thing I'll plug, because it'll make Tim Crawford at UFO TV happy, Best Evidence Top 10 UFO Sightings is finally out on DVD. It was just released a couple weeks ago by UFO TV. And included on it, because I promised people kick-ass bonus features years ago when I was still trying to get it out on DVD, are Stanton T. Friedman Is Real, the entire film, and Fields of Fear, the documentary I did about Canadian cattle mutilation investigator Fern Belzil. So three documentaries for the price of one. Plus
nice.
Some other, I think, some short interviews with Peter Gerson and Greg Bishop and a few other things are on it, too.
So that's good. So RedStarFilmTV.com is the website, right?
Si, senor.
Nice.
As I got it.
Hey, look at this guy. He's all international now from the World Baseball Classic. But
I'm just speaking the native language of your country, my friend.
What is it? You're obsessed with America and our problems. Jesus. Get down here and help us fix it if you're so fucking concerned.
I do. I come down all the time, and I stand on street corners in Los Angeles and try and get people to try and convince them to change. And then I realize I'm in the one city in the United States where they actually think like Canadians. So people just walk by and go, yeah, you're absolutely right, man. Yeah, we should have, you know, universal health care. All right, then. All right, there's another one. I sign you up. I'm making progress.
There you go. All right, Paul. Well, I wish you the best of luck. I hope you come in second place in this year's competition behind me. And, you know, well, we'll see how it goes. And hopefully you can make your way down to Boston sometime this summer for a Red Sox game.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be awesome. Or you can make your way out to California and maybe we can both go out and pester Bishop to give us Dodgers tickets.
Believe me, if I could, I would. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. The Tim Benall, Paul Kimball corporate partnership is still a subject of some interest. So.
Exactly, and much disdain from other people. No.
Indeed. True enough. Yes.
All right. Thanks again, Paul, and let's keep in touch, buddy.
Absolutely, and to the Benall of America audience, thanks for continuing to listen to BOA. It's still the best podcast out there.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're listening to Benall of America Audio.
Continuing onward here with the 2013 BOA Audio Baseball Special, we are welcoming our longtime friend Greg Bishop back to the festivities. And I've lost track of counting this a long time ago, but he's far and away has appeared on the most editions of the program ever. It's got to be nearly 10 at this point, but I'd have to look and count them all. But
I didn't know that. But and you said no. Continuing on, so that obviously means I wasn't first.
Well, it's kind of interesting this year. We reversed the order a little bit. Usually it starts with Lauren and Rich, and then
they have the most to say. They're like the big baseball heads, so they should go first.
I think they'll be rounding out the end of the special this year, because we started with Paul since he won the big prediction contest last year. So
that's right.
He was deemed to be the leadoff man. And then it's kind of an odd year this year, because I'm trying to get everybody in as soon as possible to try and, instead of trying to chase everybody down after the after the season started.
Yeah.
But, so yes, continuing onward, most appearances ever by anybody ever on the program. He is, I can't, you know, he's part of the foundation of this show. He's part of the fabric of Benall of America Audio. And
proudly, I might add.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And a good friend as well. So it's good to have him back here on the program. And his team, his hometown team, the LA Dodgers, they've really burst onto the scene in a big way since the big sale. So just to start, you know, how do you feel about sort of the Dodgers awaking from their slumber? That's probably the best way to put it.
It's great, and then very quickly after that, in the same breath, kind of embarrassing.
How so? That's an interesting take. How is
it
embarrassing?
Just to make, because I don't like the, you know, I don't want them to turn into the Yankees West with a bunch of butthole fans that go around bullying everybody, which is what they do anyway, but now it's like on a national stage. So if they've got the chops behind them of the team, like really, you know, running roughshod and making it to the playoffs and beyond, then I would like them to do well, but I don't like people to do things well in like this big Hollywood way. It's just kind of embarrassing to me, but that's just me. That's just my own personal thing.
Yeah.
You know, if they do well and everybody has pride in the team and they go to the World Series or, even win it, then I think it would make me feel great. Of course, I've been going to games not as long as a lot of people, but probably, let's see, almost 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Going to Dodger games and watching them go to the playoffs like three times, twice. No, I think it was three times. Might have been more than that, but it's always been just, you know, I go to games with my wife or girlfriend, friend or whoever, and I just expect the worst. And then I've gone over this theme before, I think. I expect the worst, and if they do better than the worst, I'm happy. Now it's kind of like these huge expectations that everybody's talking about, and they've got to live up to, or as I say, and as I said when they started signing all these people in the off season, there's going to be a lot of splaining to do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting. Well, I was surprised to see that they have the highest payroll in baseball now. They're actually past the Yankees.
Yeah.
Which is stunning.
It's not hard to do. I don't know if they closed the TV deal yet, but the TV deal is supposedly going to pay for the purchase price of the team. Or very near it. And then on the other hand, they're like, I went over there to look at the stadium the other day because we were thinking about changing our seats or getting season tickets instead of like 30 games. And they're changing a lot of stuff there. It was like they were like hacking the stadium to bits and rebuilding large parts of it. Not like the stands or anything, but stuff on the field.
Yeah.
The bullpens were getting changed. They got new clubhouse, both visitors and home clubhouse, and they had this weird thing where they had one batting cage for a long time underneath the stands, and the other team would have to actually walk through the Dodgers or by the Dodgers clubhouse to get to the batting cage, which was kind of strange. So they've finally eliminated that, and they got like different food, and they lowered the parking price too as a goodwill gesture last year, from because it had been like $10 for many years, and the your friend Frank McCourt from Boston cranked it up to 15, which pissed everybody off. I stopped parking in the lot after that. Now they lowered it back down to 10.
Doesn't he still own the parking lot, or did they get rid of that?
Yeah, he still owns the parking lot, but he has no controlling interest in it, so they can do whatever the hell they want. He can't really do too much about it, as far as I understand.
Maybe that was like wonderful. An additional fuck you, where they were like, AMI.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know? Exactly. It's funny how, you know, most people want to get rid of him. It's like, I kind of want to see him humiliated and screwed with and trampled underfoot, you know. I saw him in the park, in the stadium. He was 10 feet away from me on the last game of the season. And I was standing there with my wife, and she looked at me. She said, don't.
Well, I take it with all these changes, there's no more Manny Wood then.
No. That went away when he got.
Yeah. No, I was being sarcastic.
He got suspended. They kind of kept it there, and then he came back, and it was sort of half-hearted. And then after the season, they just took it out.
Well, it's funny. I was like, you know, it's just making that joke. It's like that.
Oh, I was talking about the section in the stadium where they had what's called Manny Wood.
Right. Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Home runs. Yeah.
But it's like you look back on. Even though it was only like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, this was, it's kind of like almost this weird quaint period where they had like Joe Torre, and Manny, and now it's like a whole different team.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I guess they have some of the core left. Like, I mean, certainly Clayton Kershaw, who's like, you know, godly pitcher, and Kemp and Ethier, and God, I can't think of anybody else that's still there after all this time. They had a lot of turnover. Loney left. He was never any great big asset anyway, but everybody liked him. But liking and being a good player are two different things. So.
Is Andre Ethier still there, or did he go somewhere else?
No, he's still there. They signed him. They gave him a big fat contract, not as fat as Kemp's, but pretty decent for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years or something. Pretty good contract. I mean, you know, he's pretty good. He's... What's that called? He's like, I don't know what his wins above replacement player is, but it's respectable. I mean, respectable in the, you know, way beyond average. So why, you know, I think they should keep him on. Everybody else did. They were like kind of dangling him for trade bait in the off season, but then they decided to stay with him, I guess, which is good. I mean, you know, if the team does well, he's kind of one of those players that if the team's not doing well, he gets kind of pissy.
Yeah.
And if the team's doing well and he's being taken care of, he's fine. You never really hear from him, and he does his job.
Now, I don't know if we talked, but I know we exchanged emails when the big sell-off happened for the Red Sox. And I can't thank you enough as a Red Sox fan. I know you had nothing to do with it, but thank you so much for taking all of those dudes. It was, you know.
You didn't want Adrian Gonzalez, huh?
He just, from what I understand, I'll be interested to see if this comes up.
He loves it here. He grew up here, everything, so.
I've heard that he's sort of like a know-it-all. They call him like Cliff Clavin. He's so like the Cliff Clavin of the clubhouse. So I'll be interested to see if that comes up. He's kind of
a
bit of an abrasive personality, a know-it-all sense.
Yeah. Well, so. I think Mattingly takes a page from Joe Torre where he will beat down egos if they start to interfere with the team.
That was the highlight of the Red Sox season, was getting rid of all those guys. So I'll be interested to see. I think that Gonzalez will do pretty well there.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of disappointed last year, but I don't know. I think he'll bounce back quite well.
I think so. I think
other people, I'm not so sure.
I have my doubts about Carl Crawford. He reminds me of like Joan Figgins. I remember when Joan Figgins left the Angels, and he was sort of one of the big free agents of the offseason and went to the Mariners. And just, you know, I was watching ESPN. It was on the ticker the other day. It was like Joan Figgins released by the Mariners. It's like, oh God. So, and we'll see how Beckett does. I think he'll be sort of a solid number three starter there.
Yeah, they're hoping he is. So I think he'll be fine. I hope the Korean guy, Ryu, or whatever his name is. They had that guy, the Cuban guy is like tearing it up in spring training. Puig. he's hitting 500 in spring training. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Jesus. It's one thing to like write off spring training.
And he almost hit for the cycle like last week in a game. It's like, geez.
Wow.
They're not even planning to have him on the team. He was just there kind of working out and, you know, making sure he's ready to go and, you know, stick him back in Albuquerque. But, geez, you know, he might be ready to go. Somebody gets injured or whatever, I think he'll be there. But then again, it's spring training, so you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting team. Paul and I just had this long sort of dissertation conversation about the Blue Jays and how they're kind of like the Dodgers and, you know, which, you know, they're sort of like both similar teams in a sense. They've acquired all these pieces.
Yeah.
And you know, it'll be interesting to see if either team or which team or whether either team can make it work. You know, I have more faith in the Dodgers than the Blue Jays, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, the Dodgers have this, they got this huge thing. They've got a lot of expectations, a lot of pressure to do well, and you know they kind of had some seasoning during the last part of last season to get all the things working together. And they got new people who are right on board. Greinke is like he's kind of a weirdo. He's like really interested in the game and studies it apparently and knows the history, and that kind of makes me happy.
Yeah, he's a bit of a strange dude. I actually couldn't recall if it was the Dodgers or the Angels who signed Greinke, so apparently obviously it was the Dodgers, which is pretty amazing considering they have that Kershaw guy and now they
have Greinke. You're never going to get in the playoffs without some, as I call them, giant killers, and not as in like literally like for the against the Giants, but you know, you got to have people that just come in and mow people down. You got to have somebody like that. You got to have a Kershaw or not really Lincecum because he doesn't do that anymore, but just somebody like that.
Yeah, it's amazing the turnaround on some of these guys too, because it's like I remember when Johan Santana left the Twins. It was like he was the best pitcher in baseball. Everybody wanted him, and within like 2 years, it was like, no, done. You know, and now you got like Roy Halladay is kind of the same way. So it's like there's a very small window for some of these guys that are like really at the top of their game. Like you wonder, you know, like Verlander, he's amazing, but it's like, you know, come 2015, he might be meandering around, you know, with the Pirates trying to get it together or something.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
No, there's just like hardly anybody that just goes for years and years, just like Rivera or somebody just going and going and going and going. He's like, what the hell? Does this guy ever slow down? Who else? Who's the last person I remember doing that? Randy Johnson did that for many years.
Exactly.
Just like, Jesus, the guy never quits.
Yeah, like Sabathia might be the closest guy
with
long-term longevity so far.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's exciting over there. I'm interested to see how it shakes out for the Dodgers. I think. It's,
yeah, me too. We've got 30 games here. We'll see what happens.
What do you mean 30 games? You're going to 30 games?
Yes, we got tickets for 30 games.
Wow, 30 games. I'm going to have to make my way out there.
You know, three or four a month.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Wow.
So, we like going. I married somebody that likes baseball as much as I do. It's amazing.
Well, it's odd in a way, not that, I thought we were going to be end up talking a lot about this whole, how they're mixing Interleague in a lot more this year, but I haven't really even heard anything about it much, so it doesn't seem like it's going to be
that much either. Yankees are coming this year to L.A. and the Red Sox again. Those are the big ones. I think Cubs? No, that's not interleague. But I think they're just taking the.
Is that a cat in the background?
Yes, it is. It's okay. Our cat yowling her head off. Head up.
I couldn't tell if it was a cat or a child. It was that close. So.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not that much different.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, with cat owners. Yeah. So 30 games. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, if you get less games, they kind of encourage you to get more, because if you get less games, you get, like, you know, there's not as much of a choice of seats and.
Right, right. So, like, the more extensive the package, the better it is.
Yeah. Because if you get season tickets, you get a pass, so you can go all over the stadium. You can get into the stadium club. Just stuff like that. So we were thinking about doing it, and we ultimately decided. Plus, they didn't really have any seats that we wanted. That's the other thing. When we went there to talk to the people selling the tickets, the agents and stuff there at the stadium, they told us that they've sold more season tickets this year than ever in the history of the Dodgers. Ever.
Oh, wow. Well, they seem to have gotten...
We were saying, how come you moved us to different seats, and we've been coming for years and all this, and they said the rules are all changed now because we've sold so many season tickets.
Wow. Well, good for them. You know, it's exciting. It's nice to see a new superpower emerge out of in baseball.
I guess it's going to... I hope it lasts for a while. Like I said, I've been going for 20 years and, like, been so, you know, sort of close a couple of times.
Right, right.
I think they went to the NLCS once, maybe, while I was been going. I don't know.
I think that first year they had Manny, or the second year they did pretty well.
Yes, they did. In fact, I came back from working on that film with Paul in Canada, and I've kept listening on the, you know, on the news and on the radio that I could get there, like internet radio that I could get there, and listening to the Dodgers just keep going and going. And it's like, oh, geez. So I ordered tickets in Canada before I came back for one of the playoff games.
Nice.
And nosebleed tickets on that game were like $200-something. I got two $200 tickets in the last row of the top deck. But I saw that was the one they won, so I got to see it.
Nice, nice. So you'll be going to 30 games or so. That's pretty amazing. I'm very envious. It's so hard to get a ticket to see
it. I got plenty of tickets. Go Rightly's going to go see the Pirates with us on, like, 5 days after opening day on April 6th.
Nice, nice.
So him and his wife and a friend of theirs are coming up, and we're all going to go out to a game. I guess they couldn't come earlier because they're opening with the Giants, which usually is a recipe for disaster, but they've made the smart decision to have the game in the day so that it doesn't let out at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really stupid, especially if you're for opening day with the Giants. Jesus, what idiot made that decision? Oh, I remember. It was Frank McCourt's watch.
Well, I was surprised. Yeah. Well, what happened to that guy was terrible. I can't believe how I didn't realize. I realized there was a rivalry, but well, I mean, you get drunk assholes involved and shit like that, so I can.
Yeah. Well, there's drunk assholes, and I mean, it's like, what happened to all those idiot Raider fans? I think a lot of them are going to Dodger games. But I think somebody found some video of Brian Stowe, like, at the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this for sure, but apparently he was really taunting the hell out of people, like, really badly. You're thinking, you know, one, nobody deserves to be, like, beat into senselessness and into a coma like that at all, ever. But the guy also apparently was just really taunting the shit out of him. I saw people doing it in the section I was in, San Francisco fans. I was like, what are you doing? Why would you come to a game, any baseball game, and be that? They were really rude, too. I mean, like, swearing at people and challenging people to fight. So I was like, what is wrong with you people? And then, the L.A. fans, they respond exactly in kind. And they were no better, you know. They were yelling at everybody, so it was just a big, bad scene.
Yeah, it's a mess. Now, speaking of the rivalry, how do you feel about the Giants winning the World Series again? It's kind of frustrating, must be.
Yeah, a little, but they did really well, and they had a good team, and what they did to win was amazing. I mean, they kept losing pieces and kept... you kept thinking, oh, that's it. And they just kept rolling. It was amazing. And I don't hate the Giants. I don't hate anybody. But it was, like, at a certain point, you just have to tip your hat and say, Jesus, you guys really kicked ass.
Yeah, we need that to go right.
You know, with less than other people might think you had, you just pulled it together. So, yeah, good job.
Now, what's the, now you're pretty, you know, I remember you went to one of these things with the assistant general manager or something like that. You're pretty tuned into the sort of the zeitgeist of the fandom there. Well, how's the feeling there? Sort of, cautiously optimistic?
I think people are, like, way over the top too much optimistic, but that's
okay,
just
yeah.
because it's me.
Yeah.
It must be. I mean, I told you about the tickets being sold.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you if people, you know, if that doesn't tell you how people feel, if they're speaking with their feet and their wallets and saying, we really expect this to be really good. I mean, to the point of, you know, some exciting games, but mostly I think they want to see them just steamroll over everyone, which I don't prefer. I don't like that, but.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I would like to see a competitive game. Somebody told me to. We were talking about long balls and stuff, and I said, I don't care about the stupid long ball. Four in a row is kind of nice, that one game a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that story.
I was there at that game, but, you know, I want to see a suicide squeeze done real well. I want to see a base stolen very, you know, well. I want to see, like, a hit and run that's executed perfectly. I love those things.
The fundamentals.
A run is just kind of really exciting and it lets off a lot of steam and all that. But it's like dropping an A-bomb. It's not interesting to me. It's just, that's it.
All right. So people are a little overly. And now what about this whole thing? I think it's more of a corporate, sort of rivalry, but is there really much of a rivalry between the Angels and the Dodgers? Like, as far as sort of like, to be the LA team? I know the Angels are like weirdly.
I don't know why the Angels want to be the LA team. What the hell is up with that? They don't like Orange County. They don't like Anaheim. They don't like that area. It's like, what's wrong with them? And it's not the Angels. It's a stupid, I think it's the marketing department and Artie Moreno's trying to get the LA fan base and identify the team with LA, which most people I know in LA won't have any of it.
Yeah.
They can't, anytime they come to play, I see people with shirts that say the LA Angels of Anaheim. They say the Anaheim Angels of Anaheim, their t-shirts.
Well, yeah, that's the weird part. It's transparent is probably the best way to put it.
I mean, it's a pure marketing ploy. That's it. They're just trying to pull the fan base and the TV deals and all that. It's like, well, you know, if they consistently field a good team and get far into the playoffs, which they have, they've got a decent shot at it. If they'd been like consistently sucking since that campaign started, they would have stopped it. But they've been doing pretty well. So they think they still got a shot at some of the LA fan base. And it's like, well, as far as I can see and I'm concerned, no, they don't.
Well, the crazy part is like it's like a battle too for star power. Which I guess makes both teams better, but it's like, you know, the Angels get Pujols and Hamilton, and then, you know, the Dodgers get Greinke, and it's like they're not even in the same division. They're not even in the same league.
But there's a lot of interleague with the Angels. Not a lot, but there's, I think the most interleague plays with the Angels because people, you know what, I feel like there's more rivalry since they did that LA Angels of Anaheim thing.
Yeah.
Because people are irritated by it, and rightly so.
I don't.
You're
blame
not in
them.
LA. You're like 20. You're like 30 miles away. You're not even in LA County. People don't realize that. They think it's like, you know, this is LA. It's like, no. If you drive about something like 30 minutes south of LA, it turns into Orange County.
Yeah. See, I'm totally unfamiliar with the.
Yeah, it's a continuous urban sprawl all the way from L.A., like northern San Fernando Valley, all the way down to, like, you know, near San Onofre Power Station there near San Clemente. But there's, you know, definitely there is a dividing line between L.A. County and Los Angeles and all the cities incorporated into Los Angeles and Los Angeles County and Orange County, which is a totally different vibe. People don't really, you know, if you're not from here, you don't really realize it.
Yeah,
you don't really care, and you shouldn't. But that's what's going on.
On that note, are you ready for predictions?
Yeah.
All right. Now, yeah, I was saying to Paul, this is the sixth year we've done this, and in the past, Dolan, Coleman, Offutt, myself, and Kimball have won. The only people left not to win are you and Go Rightly. So it's the, you know, either someone's going to double up, or you guys are going to break through.
I said, I maybe better change some of these to using my head instead of, well, I hope these people win because it seems like it would be nice. But anyway,
I have kind of a mix of that.
I had to write it all down because in the couple days beforehand, I have to go and start looking at a few other teams' sites and some predictions just to see, oh yeah, they got those guys. Oh yeah, their pitching's pretty good in Toronto, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think about it, but the Yankees are just continuing to, like, fall apart because everybody's getting old and they're not really doing anything about it. It's just stuff like that.
Yeah, they're in bad shape. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's pride or what. They just, and they don't want to spend as much.
Locked into these huge contracts, and there's some loophole in the new collective bargaining agreement where if you get below the, if you're over the tax threshold, it's, like, huge. But if you get below it, then you're given, like, a five-year window where you can go back over it and not get the tax thing. So they're trying
to
get under it. It's very sinister. Because I have a feeling once they get under it, then they're going to go balls out for like a couple of years and just be insanely over it without having to pay the tax or something.
Yeah, I think it's some weak-ass effort on Bud Selig's part to even things out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really do any good whatsoever. It just keeps people out of contention for a couple of years. Well, I don't know. Maybe it does some good because you see people you don't normally see stepping up and others that have been powerhouses for a long time pulling back. So I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see how it all shakes out. All right. Since you're National League, we'll start with the National League East. Who you got?
Nationals, of course.
All right. Yep.
Sure, everybody else said the same thing, didn't they?
Yeah, so far. You're only the second person, but Paul and I both had the Nationals. So.
Yeah, well, how can you not? I mean, they just keep getting better. Then you get amazed in the last couple of years. How did they not make it to the playoffs? I mean, how did they not make it past the playoffs? They had the best record in baseball. So, yeah, Nationals.
All right. The National League Central.
Reds. That's another favorite, I think.
Okay, yep. The National League West.
What do you think? Dodgers, of course.
Okay. The National League wild card number one.
Braves.
Okay. Nice. All right. National League wild card two.
Just to be nice, San Francisco.
Nice. All right. So you're very similar with Kimball. I think you guys flip-flopped on the West and the wild card. So.
Okay.
I feel like St. Paul, I feel like the National League, I felt, was a little easier to call this year, and seems so far that seems to be the case. So,
there's like definite direction and trends in it, and there's a lot less than the AL, which I don't pay that much attention to. But when I looked at it, I was like, Jesus, what are all these people doing? I never thought of these people as, these teams as anything like Toronto. It's like, what? Toronto? Yeah, actually.
Yeah. So it's
anyway,
very weird. Well, I think with Boston and New York sort of faltering, there's this open window now for other teams to sort of move up.
Yeah.
So the American League East.
AL East. Toronto.
Okay. The American League Central.
Tigers, of course.
The American League West.
Angels still going.
All right.
Their pitching's still really good. They've got, everybody you mentioned there.
Yeah, they're I was saying to Paul, they're tremendously lucky because that rookie of the year guy, that guy just came out of nowhere, and they spent a shitload of money on these Hamilton and Pujols, and that other guy, the pitcher there from Texas, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere
Mike Trout, you mean?
I forget the name of the pitcher guy, but
oh no, he's not a pitcher. He's a God. I can't remember. Yeah, I'm so embarrassed. I don't know what he plays, but yeah, Mike Trout.
I think he's a center fielder. I think.
Yeah.
All right, American League wild card, first one.
Oakland.
All right, and the American League wild card two.
Rays.
All right. I think you and Kimmel have a very similar. You're off by like one or two, so it's going to come right down to the wire. So.
Well, they might start changing here further down the list here with the AL.
All right. So we have your picks for both leagues. Now, who do you have to win the American League championship?
ALCS, I should have said Rays, or Angels, but I said Toronto just because it makes me feel good to say that.
To get some out of left field. It's, they're not even, it's like, recent history they're out of left field, but it makes perfect sense when you look at who they have on the team. So.
Yeah, and their pitching is like probably as good or better than the Dodgers.
Their pitching is deceptively good. I mean, it looks really good on paper, and I have a feeling there's probably like two dudes on their team that I haven't even heard of or thought of.
Just somebody hiding back there. I mean,
right.
Are they using a rookie closer or are they not? I can't remember.
I don't know anything about their closer.
Okay.
So I'm not sure about that, but I think they picked up at least two. Yeah, they got Dickey from the Mets, they got Burley from the Marlins, and they had to have had two good starting pitchers last year, and they probably still do, so it's like,
yeah,
you know, and I bet you they got somebody else that we don't even know. All right, so you have the Blue Jays for the American League Championship. Who do you have for the National League Championship?
Nats, Dodgers. Dodgers in a squeaker. I mean, they'll just edge them out. What is it? How many games is in LCS? Five or seven?
Seven.
Seven, it'll go down to the wire.
Okay. So you have the Dodgers over the Nationals to win the National League championship. So in the Dodgers versus Blue Jays World Series, who do you have?
Dodgers killing them in the shortest amount of games possible.
There you go. Sweet.
Which, whatever that, what is that, four, five?
That's a four game sweep.
Yeah, four. They'll do it in four. If it goes to Dodgers Nationals, I mean Dodgers to Toronto, it'll be Dodgers in four. There's no way around that, I don't think.
Well, the weird
even though I just said about the pitching.
The only thing...
The intangibles, man. Those expensive intangibles.
The only thing that drives me crazy, and it's just that there's nothing you could possibly do about it, but like we saw with the World Series this year, it was like the Tigers were on fire. They crushed the Yankees in like four or five games. And then the National League Championship went seven games, so they had to wait for a week.
Yeah.
By the time the World Series started, it was like the Giants had all the momentum and crushed the Tigers.
Yeah.
So, like, nothing you can do about it. So you just never know what. It's like you're almost better to be in a war in the playoffs
Otherwise,
you know, tear.
Sitting around twiddling your thumbs like, who are we going to play? Who are we going to play?
Exactly. So, all right. So you've got the Dodgers winning it all. All right.
Yeah, I think that's what I predicted last year just because I wanted to, even though I knew it in my heart it wasn't going to happen.
Well, at least this time you're backed by more stars. So.
Yeah. We'll see. They'll get deep no matter what, and then there'll be some sort of horrible, crushing, you know, down-to-the-wire defeat somewhere at the end there. Like, they'll go to the NLCS, and then, you know, Nationals will kill them in a heartbreaker in the last game.
Exactly.
Just at least it'll be the Nationals and not the stupid Cardinals again or the
Giants.
Or the Giants or the Giants haven't gone down to the wire with them at any point and kind of knocked them out of the playoffs, at least directly. Not the Pirates, the Phillies.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't want to see any more Phillies and Cardinals around here doing anything in the postseason.
Well, there's definitely.
And they won't because I don't think they're going to make it.
Yeah. Well, it's I'm impressed with the turnover in baseball for the most part. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Coming interesting again. We'll see what shakes out in the next few years, and I'll probably, you know, if they do well this year, I'll probably try and get some season tickets and split them with somebody.
There you go.
Somebody next year, because that's the only real way to do it. How the hell are you going to get rid of 81 games? I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't,
yeah.
You can't go to nearly all of those.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just, you know, I'll just share them with one or two other people, and, you know, we'll have a little pool and see who gets what games and all that.
There you go. All right. Now, before I let you go, you throw us some plugs. What do you got working on that people should be checking out? What do you have cooking over there? Obviously, Radio Mysterioso, outstanding podcast. I recommend all of America audio listeners check it out. So.
Yeah, as soon as I get the site back up, because I've got too many people coming to the site, apparently. So they suspended the site, and I've got to change the software around. But, yeah, that's one. I want to try and get some big-name UFO people on here for once before either they're not around or I'm not with the show, you know?
Yeah.
I've got to get those. The people that everybody else has talked to, I didn't think I'd ever have the balls to interview, like a Jacques Vallée.
Go for it, man.
Yeah.
I would love to hear those interviews, so.
Yeah, so would I.
So,
yeah.
And recently I went to this thing, what was it? It was a paranormal conference, and there's like a lot of people. We got there, and my wife said, "Does anybody here dress in anything but black?" It was like a goth conference.
Interesting.
But I talked to the organizer, this girl, Dawn Gomez, and I said, you know, a friend of mine that was going to speak there didn't show up, and I said, well, I'll speak if you are short, stuck for somebody, but I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I don't want to get in the way.
Right.
Only if it's an emergency. And of course, she said, no, we're covering it, because she didn't know who the hell I was.
Right.
But we sat down and talked for like half an hour longer, and we were talking about all the similarities between the paranormal stuff that they do and the cryptozoology and the ufology stuff, and maybe even a little bit of conspiracy type stuff, psychedelics, all the stuff that I and you and everybody we know are into.
Yeah.
Most people are just kind of like, you know, we're not mixing with that crowd because they're nuts. It's like, well, anybody outside your crowd thinks we're all nuts, so... And the thing was, I said that to her, and she goes, you're absolutely right. I want to get a conference where all kinds of different people come and do a presentation on the similarities. And I said, well, I think you should do it. And she said, would you help me? And I said, yep, as long as I don't have to put any money up for it.
Nice.
So, and that'll probably be out in California here somewhere, but we'll see how that goes.
All right. Well, stay tuned, I guess is how they say it, right?
Yeah, so those are really the only things on the boilerplate now. Ken Thomas came out here in the last couple of weeks, and we talked about, you know, projects we might do, and we neither of us had any that we really wanted to do or were really, like, itching us.
Yeah.
Apparently Chris O'Brien is going to do a book I wanted to do, which was cattle mutilation stuff.
Oh, nice.
So, and I was thinking, it's like, shit, I wanted to write that, and then I was thinking, Chris O'Brien is the person that should write it.
Yeah, it's a good author.
Directly
so, yeah.
Involved with it for, like, a good portion of his life. And he has some different ideas on it that aren't the standard ones, and he's not dogmatic about it. So I can't wait to see that. And then I begged him to let me write the foreword or something to the book, and he said, yeah, sure. That's all I do anymore is write forewords to books.
You gotta stop underestimating yourself. You're a player.
Well, I know I could have written a decent book on it, but the thing is that Chris has he really has the chops being the person that was in the trenches for the longest time. I mean, apart from Linda Howe, maybe, I can't think of anybody else, or David Perkins, who he's working with on the book, or that guy Tom Adams, some of those people that have been at it for years. Gabe Valdez, for one, I guess, but he passed away last year, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that'll be a great book, and I'll plug him a little bit, too, because that excited me to hear that from him.
Nice. All right. Sounds good. Well, as always, I can't thank you enough for coming back here for the baseball special. It's amazing. This is our sixth year doing this, so it's pretty stunning that...
Love doing it.
We're still plugging away.
If people don't want to hear paranormal people talking about the baseball, then that's too bad, because it's fun.
Yeah, wait till next week. That's the policy.
Well, I don't know. Maybe people do enjoy it. I have no idea.
There's a fair audience, but more often than not, I hear from people. It seems like the weird caveat that they include in the email, where it's like, "I love your show," then like in parentheses, except for the baseball ones. It's like, no shit.
Well, you don't have to listen. I'm not doing this show for you people. I'm doing it for me, and if you people like it, that's wonderful. That's how I feel about my show.
Exactly, exactly.
If people like it, then that's great. I think it makes me happy. But if they don't, or people don't want to listen, I'm still going to do that. I got three listeners, I'll still do the show. I got three listeners or 1,000. I don't care. I'm going to do the same show because neither of us are being paid for this. We're just doing it because we like it.
I think that's what helps the quality of the program, honestly.
Yeah, it does. It very definitely does. If you were answerable to anybody or any group or any money or anything like that, it would not be the same show, and that's how all these podcasts are, a lot of them. And a lot of them are way better than anything you get on commercial radio.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, as I said, folks, check out RadioMysterioso.com. I'm sure it'll be up by the time they're hearing this, and
yes.
You know, we'll be talking again on the air and off the air, so it's been great once again, Greg.
All right, thanks so much, Tim.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we continue onward here with the 2013 BOA Audio Baseball Special. And we are welcoming back once again our good friend, the Reverend Houdini Kundalini of the Church of Unwavering Indifference, also known as El Gogo, the crockpot historian and the supermarket psychic himself, the illustrious Adam Gorightly. And he was faced with a Sophie's Choice last year. He was on the cusp of winning his first ever BOA Audio Baseball Special Predictions Championship. But in order to win the championship, his beloved San Francisco Giants had to lose the World Series, which, as we know, they did not. So it was almost a win-win in a way, or a lose-lose. I'm not sure. We'll get his thoughts on it. Welcome back to the program, Adam.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Yes, I had to take one for the team, but I was glad to.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's like, do you want your team to win the World Series, or do you want to win some rinky-dink prediction contest? It's probably...
That was exactly my thought.
It's probably really not as big of a choice as I've made it out to be, but I was stunned. I was actually, as much as I wanted you to be happy that the Giants won the World Series, I really kind of wanted you to win the prediction contest because of your unique style of predictions. I thought, this is it. Gorightly's finally tapped into something here. So.
And then the worst part of it all is that Kimball won, right?
Yes. We have our first Canadian winner. So.
And he's probably insufferable about it, I'd imagine.
Now, you'll hear it on the special, but I won't go so far as to say yes, but pretty much. Well, he's already gone out on a limb and predicted he's going to double up. He's going to win the championship again, so.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of trash talking on his part. Now, your team here is, you know, they're on the cusp of a dynasty here. They really got it together. I was stunned because I did not see the Giants winning it all last year. I guess they have this sort of workman's-likeness. I know. I just didn't really see it happening.
Yeah, they were down so many times and kept, you know, it was amazing. Even the games, you thought, God, there's no way they can win this. Barry Zito going against Verlander.
Yeah.
Thought, okay, that's one we can just put in the lose column right there. But, yeah, they came up big.
It was pretty amazing. It was pretty amazing.
I enjoyed it more than 2010.
Yeah, it was a little bit more of a roller coaster this time around. I'm trying to, because they took it all the way to Game 7 of the NLCS. That, like, never happens.
Yeah.
So what?
And
go ahead.
I thought you'd talk about a dynasty too. I was just going to mention, for those who don't really follow what they did on the off season, they basically have the same team coming back. You don't see that too often. The same starting pitching rotation, all the position players are the same, minus Milky, but he left, you know, before they even got into the playoffs. So, you know, basically just thinking here, you know, they're going to bring in a couple of platoon position players, but it's basically the same dang team.
Yeah, they're very workmanlike. They don't go out and I think the last guy they went out and I think they re-signed that guy, the pitcher there. That pitched the perfect game. They re-sign him for a lot of money, but they don't go out and make these big splash free agent signings. So,
well,
since the Zito thing,
it's going to take some money to re-sign their big players, and they have the money to do it now. From the winning the two World Series in 3 years, then the success they've had at their ballpark, they're rolling now, and they got the. Last I heard, the fifth highest payroll in baseball, which is quite a departure from where they were at 10 years ago. So they got, you know, money to sign people now, but it's re-signing Buster Posey when he comes you know, some of their pitchers and, you know, like Hunter Pence, he's signed up. You know, they have him through this year. Then the big one is Lincecum.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. What's going on with this guy? You know, is he worth re-signing for a lot of money? Is he on the downswing already, or is he going to reinvent himself?
I hope he reinvents himself, but it looks like he's on the downswing, and the Giants are in the position where I don't see how they can re-sign him, because if he goes out and has a great season, he's going to want, you know, if he has like a Cy Young season like he's had in the past, one of those seasons, he's going to want so much money in a long-term contract. I don't think they'd want to do it because they have all these other people, including
I don't know if you're that familiar with their pitchers, but like the young guy, Bumgardner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's somebody they want to keep long term. And once again, Posey and Sandoval and all these guys, you know, then if Lincecum comes back and stinks next year, then they definitely don't want to resign him. So I think they're in a position where I've heard other pundits echo these same remarks that he'll probably be gone after next year unless he wants to give him a hometown deal. But, you know, hey, this is his time to sign the big contract, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's not back with them.
Yeah, yeah. That seems to be the case. These guys wind up somewhere else, you know, when they get the chance, because they look kind of like with Josh Hamilton, you know. I didn't think the Angels were going to scoop him up. So, and Pujols, too. It's like, what? Where the hell did that come from,
and,
you know?
Yeah, with Lincecum, though, in the, you know, he had the bad year last year until they got into the postseason. Then he transformed into a middle relief guy and just lit it up, you know, which was a lot of fun. But his whole thing was his conditioning. He was a known to smoke the chronic and...
Oh, yeah, I've heard about
this. Go to In-N-Out burgers and all that. And so in the off season, he just tried to re-image himself, got a haircut, and supposedly had a, you know, workout routine going. So he's stronger now that he can maintain his mechanics, because that's why they call him the freak. He has those freaky mechanics that, you know, if they're just off smidgen, then he's totally screwed up. So he's thinking that what he's done in the off season is going to get him back to the Timmy of old. We'll see.
There you go. All right. Sounds good. Now, what do you think about the? We all know about the fierce Dodgers Giants rivalry, and clearly the Giants are are two up now at this point in recent history. But what do you think of them? What do you think of the Dodgers going out and spending all this money and taking all the crappy players from Boston that we wanted to get rid of anyway? We tricked them.
it's nuts, man. I wish them nothing but failure. I've been giving some friends a hard time. I guess Zach Greinke had some injury going into the season.
Yeah, he's kind of bagged up. Yeah, I heard, yeah.
And then I heard Hanley Ramirez got a little bit of a some type of injury going on. So, yeah, I wish them nothing but ill fate. No, it'd be good to see that rivalry going again, you know. Just it was a good thing back 20 years ago or so to get that ratchet up again would be a good thing, actually. I'm going to down to L.A. here in a couple weeks to watch a ball game with Mr. Bishop.
I heard. Just don't taunt a whole bunch of people.
Oh, hell no. No, I don't wear the gear, and I don't talk a bunch of trash, you know?
No. People would think that, but Adam's actually a very, he's a very laid-back person. Yeah,
That's right.
I know how hard to believe that might be. Did you do anything special for them winning the championship? You know, did you go to the parade or anything?
He fucking serious. going to
Salem?
Thing in Salem.
Yeah, I gotta.
No,
I
I'm not that,
that
close to San Fran. If I'm going to San Francisco, I'm not going to get caught up in some crazy parade. No, I didn't do anything special. Just you know, savored the moment, enjoyed it.
There you go. Yeah. Well. It's pretty amazing. I'm envious.
Had a few brewskis and dressed our cats up in this little San Francisco giant rally skirt we have. That was about it.
On this day 6 years ago, some guy in Houston ran over an elderly man while going after a home run ball, and this woman took the law into her own hands and started whacking the guy with her cane. Bravo, honey. Bravo.
Seriously, she should have just gotten up and whacked him across the face one. And why is this guy sitting there letting her take the heat?
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Dan will tell us stories he's heard about hauntings at Tiger Stadium and the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim. I don't think that's the name of the fucking stadium. Arrowhead Pond's not where they play. Angel fucking shit.